Well, a third thing that Jesus is doing for you is he prays for you. Let me give you two verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Another passage, Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, speaking of Jesus, he is also able to save to the uttermost, completely, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now, what does it mean that Jesus intercedes for us? Is this the same thing as saying that he stands up for us? Well, first let me say that the word intercede, as it's used in these passages, does not always refer to prayer, as we understand praying. You can intercede for someone, for example, as one commentator said, by speaking on their behalf. And he gives the illustration of someone who brings a petition to the king on another person's behalf. I could go to an important person, and I could speak on your behalf. I would be interceding for you. But in the case of Hebrews and in the case of Romans, but especially here in Hebrews, the way that the passage is constructed points to the idea of prayer. The context here is that Jesus is our high priest. Again, remember, the theme is Jesus is better. We saw this section last Sunday. He's better than the Old Testament high priest. A moment ago, we said he's better than angels. That's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to explain. Jesus is better. Don't accept the high priest. Don't accept angels. Don't take the old covenant. Jesus is better than all these things. One of the functions of the high priest, especially on the Day of Atonement, the one day a year when anyone could walk into the Holy of Holies, was to intercede for the nation of Israel. Intercession is a common theme throughout the Old Testament. Abraham interceded with God for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses interceded with God for the nation of Israel when God said, I'm going to wipe them out, Moses. I'm tired of their complaining and their bickering and their, I'm just going to wipe them out. We'll start over. And Moses interceded for the nation of Israel. The high priest interceded with God for Israel on the Day of Atonement as he offered the sacrifice for the sins of the people. I read a Jewish writer, he's not a Christian. I read a Jewish writer this week, and he said something interesting. He said, intercession is more than just praying. It's an ongoing commitment. Listen, this is dynamic. It is an ongoing commitment to remain in a position before God for a particular situation until the case has been solved. One thing about Jewish writers, they know the language. And he's taking this just from the word, the Hebrew word, to intercede. He's not talking about the position of being on your knees. He's talking about the position of prayer. You're not going to give up on prayer. It's not a one-time prayer. God bless Susie. She's having a surgery today. It's remaining, it's a commitment to remain in prayer for Susie until an answer comes. He goes on to say this. Our intercession must be the willingness to stand in the gap. He gets that phrase from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, where Ezekiel says God is looking for someone to stand in the gap. That's what intercession is. That really gets to the heart of the idea of praying for someone. It's not a one-and-done type of prayer. It's sticking with it until God has answered the prayer. Jesus is a better high priest because he intercedes for us before God. He literally speaks to God for us. That's what prayer is, speaking to God. He speaks to God for us, and he doesn't stop until there's been an answer given by the Father. That should encourage you to no end. There are things that some of you have been praying about for years. And I want to tell you, Jesus has been praying too. By the way, did you know the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit prays for us? It talks about the fact that Jesus prays for us. When you don't know how to pray, you just say, Spirit of God, would you pray for me? You know the will of the Father. You know the heart of Jesus, would you pray for me? I can't think of two better individuals to pray for you than the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Ask them to join you in prayer. Better yet, you join them in prayer. Dr. Elmer Towns, who for many years taught down at Liberty Seminary, points out from the Hebrews 7 passage that intercession of Jesus is several things. He says, first, it's continual. It says he always lives to make intercession for us. Listen, if the devil can accuse you night and day, don't you think Jesus can pray for you night and day? He says the prayer of Jesus is active. And by that, here's what he means. It's not the same prayer every time. Do you notice that when you pray about something, you sort of fall into a rut? I do this. You pray about something every night, you pray for somebody. God bless Peter. He's really discouraged. The next night, God bless Peter, he's really discouraged. The next night, God bless Peter, he's really discouraged. Jesus' prayer is active. It means it's up to date. It's current, related to what's going on in your life. You may not know everything that's going on in Peter's life, but he does. It's an active prayer. Try to make your prayers as active as you can, by the way. He says it's specific. Jesus doesn't just pray these general prayers, God bless Betty. They are specific prayers about specific things for specific people. They're preventive. Let me quote from Dr. Towns. He said, the ministry of Christ as our intercessor works in cooperation with the work of the Holy Spirit and Scripture to prevent us from sinning. That's an interesting thought. I didn't have time to explore it a lot. Jesus, according to Dr. Towns, not only prays for us when we sin, he prays for us before we sin so that we won't sin. And then he says it's effective. Well, you wouldn't expect anything less from a prayer of Jesus, would you, then, for it to be effective? If, as the writer of James says, the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man avails much, then the prayer of a holy, omnipotent Jesus avails even more. It's effective. What's Jesus doing for you? He's praying for you. He's praying that you will become more like him. He's praying that you won't lose your temper this week. He's praying that you'll be kind to people this week. He's praying that you won't talk about people this week and gossip about people this week. He's praying that you'll be a help to someone this week. He's praying that you'll live a godly life this week. He's praying for you. Well, let me give you another thing Jesus is doing. He is giving you gifts. Now, this can be understood in two different ways. One is he gives you blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have been blessed already with every spiritual blessing. In the heavenly places indicates the origin or the source of the blessing. In Christ means that is the means by which the blessings come into our lives. They come through Jesus. Jesus is the avenue through which the blessings of God come to us. So he's very much involved in blessing you. He blesses us with grace. He blesses us with mercy. He blesses us with love. He blesses us with provision. He blesses us with protection. Now, the other way that this phrase can be understood is he gives you spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And Paul in that passage goes on to talk about spiritual gifts as he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Whatever your spiritual gift is, whether it's knowledge, whether it's hospitality, whether it's kindness, whether it's faith, whether it's whatever it is, Jesus was involved in giving you that gift. That's how he's involved in your life. He is blessing you every day. He has given you a gift by which you can serve the church. By the way, don't mistake it. Spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, are given for the benefit of the church. Your spiritual gift is not given to build you up, not made given to you to make you look good. It's given so you can express it in the context of the local church to minister to all the rest of us. Well, very quickly, the last thing that I want to point out today is that Jesus is preparing a place for you. We sang about that, didn't we? We sang about that in one of the songs. He's preparing a place for you. John chapter 14, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And that place he's preparing wasn't just for the 12 disciples. He is preparing a place for all of his followers. And he is preparing a place specifically for you. Now think about what that means for a moment. It means the place that he is preparing will be just for you. It won't be for anyone else. It won't be a timeshare. It'll be for you. It means that the place he's preparing for you will fit you just perfectly. One of our members here at the church on Facebook, who I will remain nameless, except she's sitting over there, likes to put on Facebook about different houses and stuff. And I enjoy it, by the way. I enjoy it. So don't stop, Cheryl. And every once in a while, she'll pull one up and she'll say, would you rather live here? And almost every time I say, yes, I would. In fact, she put one up of this beautiful cabin in the woods, and I think it was, would you live here if you had to give up football for 1 year? In a heartbeat, I would, okay? In a heartbeat. I love football, okay? But I'd give it up to live there. They're beautiful places. Now, we all have different styles. Some people like country. Some people like the cabin. Some people like modern architecture. Some people like, you know, the English-type house, that kind of thing. I don't know what Jesus is preparing, but it's going to fit you perfectly. You're going to love it. It's just like some people like blue and some like green. Some like dogs and some like cats, right? Did you know there's a variety in the way God made us? That's why we're different. God made us with variety. He made the creation with variety. I don't have any reason to believe that the variety will go away once we're in heaven. How boring would that be if we all had to live in Cheryl's house? We're still going to be individuals in heaven. We're not going to be robots. There's still going to be variety. The variety is not going to go away just because we went to heaven. So the place that God is preparing for you will fit you perfectly. Another thing is, that place he's preparing means you'll be completely satisfied. You're not going to get to heaven and say, boy, I wish mine had been like Kathy Phillips's. You won't lack anything you need. You are going to be so happy with what he does for you. When you get there, you're going to say, man, it's too bad everybody else doesn't have what I have. Now, I know that Jesus, being God, can speak those things into existence. With just a simple word, they will all exist immediately. But how long it takes, when he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, how long it takes is not the issue. The issue is that he cares enough about you that he's preparing a special place just for you as part of what he's doing for you. I'm hoping as you think about this that you're sort of thinking, boy, I can't wait to get there. We have on our street several very, very large homes. One of them is up for sale. If anybody wants to buy it, it's $465,000. My wife said to me, when they have an open house, I'm going. I'm too embarrassed to do that because I know I'm not buying it. But she wants to see what it looks like. She can't hardly wait. I hope that you can't hardly wait to see what your place in heaven looks like. We could have called this message, "What in the world is God doing?" or "Jesus, what in the world is Jesus doing?" Well, he's standing up for you. He's helping you. He's praying for you. He's giving you blessings and gifts. And he's preparing a place for you. Jesus didn't go on a holiday when he went back to heaven. His primary undertaking since he went to heaven is to minister to and for his people. His primary focus since he went back to heaven is to minister to you and for you. I hope that makes you feel special, because you are special to God. Sure, we do things that aren't pleasing to God. We sin, and it grieves the heart of God. But never forget, he's adopted you into his family. I don't know if God has a last name, but you have it. You are one of his children. The Bible says that we will inherit everything that Jesus inherits in heaven will be yours. Well, that's the end of our section on what you need to know about the Son. Next week, I'll be in Haiti. The following week, we'll pick up with what you need to know about the Holy Spirit. I think it'll be an informative 3 messages on the Holy Spirit. I want to invite you to come back and hear them. Father, thank you for what Jesus is doing for us today. Thank you that he's there to stand up for us, to defend us, to be our advocate. Thank you that he's helping us. One way is by sending angels to watch over us and to take care of us. Thank you, Lord, that he is there for us when we need him. In all these different ways, Jesus is there. He is doing something for us. He's praying for us. He's blessing us. He's giving us spiritual gifts, and he is today preparing a place for us. Father, as we go out today, our prayer is that we would understand more about Jesus, more about who he is as the God-man, and more about what he's doing in our lives. Oftentimes, things that we cannot see. We thank you for Jesus today. In Christ's name, amen.